ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 40। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द प्रेयर्स ऑफ अक्रूर। टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। सर्वयेव यजन्ति त्वाम् सर्वदेवमयेश्वरम् ये अपि अन्य देवता भक्ता यद्यप अन्यदिय प्रभो। सर्वयेव यजन्ति त्वाम् सर्वदेवमयेश्वरम् येऽपि अन्यदेवता भक्ता यद्यप अन्यदिय प्रभो। सर्वयेव यजन्ति त्वाम् सर्वदेवमयेश्वरम् येऽप्यन्यदेवता भक्ता यद्यप्यन्यदिय प्रभो। सर्वयेव यजन्ति त्वा सर्वदेवमयेश्वरम् एप्यन्यदेवता भक्ता यद्यप अन्यदिय प्रभो। सर्वयेव यजन्ति त्वाम् सर्वदेवमयेश्वरम् माताजी। सर्वयेव यजन्ति त्वाम् सर्वदेवमयेश्वरम् येऽप्यन्यदेवता भक्ता यद्यप्यन्यदिय प्रभो। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। सर्वे ऑल एव इंडीड यजन्ति वर्षिप त्वाम यू सर्वदेव ऑल द डेमिगॉड्स मय वो यू हू कंप्राइज ईश्वरम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ये दे अपि इवन अन्य ऑफ अदर देवता डीटीज भक्ता डिवोटीज यदि अपि अल्दो अन्य टर्न्ड एल्सवेर दिया देर अटेंशन प्रभो ओ मास्टर। Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. But all these people, my Lord, even those who have turned their attention away from you are worshipping other deities, are actually worshipping you alone, O embodiment of all the demigods. Purport. The idea here is that even those who worship the demigods are indirectly worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu. The understanding of such worshippers, however, is imperfect. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Dashatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So here Akrura is offering prayers, this 10th canto, 48th chapter. Last Saturday and Sunday, Solan's Radhana Swami Maharaj explained very beautifully this episode of Akrura taking Krishna to Mathura. So here, in this particular verse, okay, just before this verse, Akrura talked about how different people worship the Supreme Lord in different forms. How different people worship the Supreme Lord in the form of like different demigods, how they follow different methods of worship, the path of karma, jnana, yoga, how some people perform the they follow the path of karma kanda. So they worship different demigods, and then he mentions that, and then finally Akrura is saying here in this verse that even those people who have turned their attention away from you and who are worshipping other deities of the demigods, they are actually worshipping you alone, who are embodiment of all the demigods. So it's a similar verse which Krishna also speaks in the Gita. Ye api anya devata bhakta ejante shraddhayanvita tepi mam eva kaunte ejanti avidipurvakam. So he says that those who worship the demigods, they are actually worshipping me only, but they do so in a wrong way. So Shri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a beautiful analogy to explain this point. Says that clouds, they come from the ocean. The ocean water gets evaporated, they get converted in, they become clouds. And then from the clouds actually water comes. Clouds are the source of the rivers. And rivers, they originate from a top of a mountain and then they ultimately merge into the ocean. So he says, the ocean is the supreme, ocean is compared to the Supreme Personality of God. Just like clouds come from the ocean, the Vedas emanate from the Supreme Lord. Vedas emanate from the breathing of the Lord. And the Vedas, the clouds, they pour down rain water. So Vedas contain different methods of worship to worship different deities of demigods. So the different methods of worship or the worship offered to the demigods, they are compared to the different rivers. And those rivers, they start from the mountain. So that mountain is compared to the demigod worshipper. So rivers start from the mountain and then the rivers ultimately end in the ocean. So rivers reach the ocean, but the mountain, which is the source of the river, that does not reach the ocean. The mountain remains the same place wherever it is. So he says that only the worship offered unto the demigods, they ultimately reach the Supreme Lord. But the worshipper, he does not reach the Supreme Lord, because he is actually performing the worship in a wrong way, considering the demigods to be independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, demigod worshipper, what it means is like one who considers the demigod as having an independent power, one considers the demigod as independent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is actually demigod worship. Like sometimes we see even devotees, they may worship demigods, they may respect demigods, but the conception is not that the demigod is having independent powers in the Supreme Lord. They consider the demigod to be servant of the Lord. Just like in the beginning of the 10th canto, when Mother Earth was overburdened with the demoniac soldiers, demoniac kings, so Mother Earth approaches Lord Brahma. So, it may appear that Mother Earth is approaching a demigod who is a Lord Brahma. But Mother Earth approached Lord Brahma because Mother Earth thought that previously the Supreme Lord appeared on the request of Lord Brahma and he actually saved me from the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean. So, because of the interference of Lord Brahma who meditated on the Supreme Lord, Lord Varahadeva appeared and saved me from the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean. So let me approach the Supreme Lord through his devotee Lord Brahma. So in that mood she is actually approaching Lord Brahma, that I should approach the Supreme Lord through a devotee. So sometimes a devotee may approach a demigod, but not the conception that the demigod is having independent power from the Supreme Lord. So what is condemned here as a demigod worship is that when a person considers the demigod is having independent powers from the Supreme Lord. So in that case, he becomes a demigod worshipper. So in the case of a demigod worshipper, the worship he offers will ultimately reach the Supreme Lord. But the worshipper, like a mountain, he does not reach the Supreme Lord because he is having a wrong mentality. And like we was reading in the 8th canto, in the Gajendra, when he was in the clutches of the crocodile, the Gajendra, he tries to come out of the clutches of the crocodile, he fights with the crocodile for 100 celestial years. And then when he found that actually I cannot come out of the clutches of the crocodile, when he saw that none of his family members were able to help him, and Gajendra's thought deeply. So when he thought deeply, then he came to the conclusion, actually it is because of my own karma that I am actually in this condition. So when he accepted it is because of his own karma, Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that when he accepted it is his own karma, then he got the intelligence that I should take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So then, he actually offered wonderful prayers with complete concentration. So Gajendra put efforts from his side to come out of the clutches of the crocodile. And then second thing he did is that he accepted that it is his own karma. And third thing is that he completely accepted the shelter of the Lord. So similarly, in our day-to-day life, we may have to, when we come across a certain problem, we may have to do something on a practical level, whatever is needed. But at the same time, we have to accept in our heart that it is actually because of my own karma. Not putting the blame on somebody else. So we have to understand, on a practical level, whatever is the immediate cause, we may have to deal with the immediate cause by doing some practical solution. For example, when a person is sick, so we may have to take, person has got malaria, he may have to take some medicines on a practical level. And on a little deeper level, one has to understand that the cause of malaria is not just mosquito bite, it is actually because of my own karma. Otherwise, so many people were living in the same room, but The mosquito did not bite them, why did it bite me? So it is because of my own karma. So we have to accept that and we have to deal with that also. And ultimately we have to understand why I performed karma, because a person performs karmic activity, it means either a pious activity or sinful activity, ultimately because of forgetfulness of Krishna. So the ultimate cause of me getting malaria is because of my forgetfulness of Krishna. So we have to, the solution and the ultimate level is remembrance of Krishna. So we have to deal with the problem in the all the levels, in the immediate level, in the remote level and the ultimate level. The immediate causes, say mosquito bite, the remote causes, say it's my own karma. So in the Vedic scripture they perform the different methods of atonement. And the ultimate cause is the forgetfulness of Krishna. So Gajendra, initially he dealt with the immediate level by putting his own effort. But many times our effort will be insufficient. And one has, then Gajendra came to the conclusion, it is actually because of my own karma. And then that actually gave him the intelligence to take complete shelter of the Supreme Lord. So then he offered very beautiful prayers. Then at the end of the prayers, it was described, the demigods were actually hearing these prayers of Gajendra. And demigods were thinking, is Gajendra calling me? Demigods were thinking, is Gajendra calling me for help? But then Gajendra, he made it clear that he is actually calling for that Supreme Personality of Godhead who is having a spiritual body. In fact, in one of the prayers, Gajendra mentioned, Yasya Brahma Dayo Deva Falgyacha Kalaya Krita. In fact, he said, I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Personality of Godhead whose parts and parcels are Brahma and other demigods. And then in that verse he mentions, Falgyacha Kalaya Krita. Falgyacha Kalaya Krita means the Supreme Lord's less important or the inferior parts and parcels are the demigods. So there are two types of expansion of the Supreme Lord. The Vibhinnamsha and Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha. Swamsha is his own direct expansions. They come under the category of Vishnu Tattva. Vibhinnamsha are the separated parts and parcels, the demigods and the living entity. The demigods are also Jiva Tattva. So he mentions, I offer my respects to that Supreme Lord whose inferior parts and parcels are demigods like Brahma and others. Yasya Brahma Adaya. So when the demigods heard this particular prayer, demigods felt, this Gajendra has insulted us, calling us, oh, we are inferior parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, they felt, no, we should not actually go and help this Gajendra. Because it's explained that demigods, it's explained at the end of the chapter, demigods, they were somewhat identifying themselves with their particular position. So they felt, so because they were having some material identification with their particular post, they felt, this Gajendra has insulted us by calling us Falgyacha Kalaya Krita. No, we will not go and help this Gajendra. And he is calling for Lord Vishnu, who is having a spiritual form. But that Lord Vishnu will not come to save him. That Lord Vishnu is very difficult to approach. So this Gajendra will certainly die. So let him die. So we will not go and save him. So like that, thinking like that, the demigods, they just kept quiet. And demigods were thinking like that. That time, they saw that Lord Vishnu was coming with great speed to come and help Gajendra. In fact, it is explained that Lord Vishnu, he was coming with such a great speed, he was telling Garuda, please go fast. But Garuda was not able to keep up with the speed of the expectation of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, And then Garuda actually, at one point he became unconscious. Then Lord Vishnu actually, he took Garuda on his shoulder and he was feeding water to Garuda. And then he was coming fast and his dhoti also was becoming loose. So he was holding the dhoti with his one hand. And then he came to actually help Gajendra. So then, but the verse describes, and Lord Vishnu appeared. All the demigods came along with Lord Vishnu and they were offering prayers to Lord Vishnu. So why did the demigods came along with Lord Vishnu? They were offering prayers to Lord Vishnu. Because it explained, the demigods were thinking that, oh, Lord Vishnu will not come and save Gajendra. This Gajendra is going to die. But when they saw that Lord Vishnu is coming with great speed, they actually understood, they realized that the thought which they had was offensive. Just to have the thought, oh, this Gajendra did not call me. He called the Supreme Lord. He called me as the inferior part of the Supreme Lord. That thought itself was offensive. And they realized that when they saw that, oh, Lord Vishnu is coming. So, when they realized their offense, so in order to forgive, beg forgiveness from the Supreme Lord, they came along with Lord Vishnu and they were offering prayers to Lord Vishnu. Huh. So then, of course, Lord Vishnu saved Gajendra and he actually delivered Gajendra. So basically we see, so these demigods are, Vishnu Chakotaku says that demigods, because they were identifying themselves with that particular position, they became indifferent to the suffering of Gajendra. Huh. So when we have a material identification, then a person may become hard-hearted that even though when we see that somebody is actually suffering intensely, we may become completely indifferent to him. So one becomes hard-hearted, one loses compassion. So similarly, sometimes even in a devotional circle, When we identify ourselves with a particular position, we might think like, why I am not called for this? Why this particular person is called? So then, because of that, we may become hard-hearted and we may actually fail to help some other person who is actually in a deep need. So here, basically, this verse shows that how the demigods are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. And and coming to this point about Akrura, I want to speak something a little bit about Akrura. Actually, if you see the character of Akrura, the one devotee shared a very beautiful reflection. I felt so inspired. So if you see from the point of view of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he actually says, oh, Akrura displeased the gopis because Akrura took Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura. So, from the point of view of Rasika Acharyas, because Akrura separated Krishna from the gopis, so later Akrura was separated from Krishna. But when we see from the point of view of a conditioned soul like us, because Akrura took Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, because Akrura took Krishna out of Vrindavan, Krishna could eventually speak Bhagavad Gita in the Battle of Kurukshetra. If Krishna had not spoken Bhagavad Gita, there would not be Bhagavad Gita as it is, written by Srila Prabhupada. So which means, in simple words, that we will not be sitting here. It means like we would not have become devotees. We would not have come to Krishna consciousness. So from a spiritual point of view, the reason why we are actually here is because of Akrura. And when we see from a practical point of view, we are able to actually discuss Gita and Bhagavatam because because there is such nice temple which is being maintained by devotees who are also in the position of Akrura. It's like Akrura was serving, he was working under Kamsa. So many devotees who are also in the similar position of Akrura, who are also in a position, in the sense like they also have to serve many Kamsas. But because they are actually maintaining the temple, we are able to actually hear, sit and actually discuss Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So because they are maintaining the temple, there is prasadam provided, etc. So without that, on a practical level, also we are actually dependent on devotees who are in the position, who are following in the footsteps of Akrura, who are in a similar position of Akrura. So basically, from spiritual point of view, we are dependent on Akrura, and even from practical point of view, we are able to discuss Gita and Bhagavatam because of Akrura-like devotees, who may have to serve some mini Kamsas, but who are actually using that in the service of the Lord, so that devotees can sit and discuss Bhagavatam. So, and when we see the example of Akrura, Akrura was connected to Kamsa from externally, but internally he was actually connected to Krishna. So when we judge a person, we should not judge a person simply based on whom he is connected to. So we should learn to judge the person differently, and we should try to learn that we should try to judge the person differently from what he is connected to. So many times when a person is connected to some wrong source, it is very likely that he may also be a wrong person. But there are times, although a person may be connected to a wrong source, but the person can be a very good person. So we should try to learn the person differently from what he is connected to. We may be connected to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. We may be connected to the movement of Srila Prabhupada. We may be a disciple of an advanced spiritual master. But just because we are connected to an advanced spiritual master, that does not mean that we may be advanced. So we may be physically connected to an advanced soul or a great sampradaya, but how much we are connected to in our heart? Is our heart connected to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya? Is our heart connected to Lord Chaitanya? Is our heart connected to Srila Prabhupada? So that is important. If we see, for example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, when the first public Harinam Sankirtan was held by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the Chand Ghazi, he gave an order to broke the mridangas, and then when he started troubling the devotees, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to protest that, he actually took all the devotees and he took them on a public Harinam Sankirtan to the house of Chand Ghazi. And there, a discussion takes place between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, and Chand Ghazi. So, if you read the discussion in the Adi Leela 17th chapter, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly says, he clearly defeats Chand Ghazi, that the scriptures of Yavanas are filled with imperfections and it is filled with illusions. He says that, there is a discussion about how cow killing. He is like, how can somebody kill cow who is actually the mother, who is actually giving milk? And Chand Ghazi says, even your Vedic scriptures, there is actually, Vedas also mentioned about cow killing, etc. Then Mahaprabhu says, but when there is mention of cow killing in the Vedic scriptures, there it is said that the cows are revived, they get a better destination, they are immediately promoted to human, They are given a human body. But in your scriptures, you don't have the power to actually elevate a cow and give a human body. And then he says, the scriptures of Yavanas are filled with imperfections and illusions. And even Chand Ghazi accepts it. Actually, I agree with you. Actually, our scriptures are not logical and they don't have deep philosophy. And our scriptures are imperfect. They are filled with many mistakes and illusions. But what to do? I am there in this particular community. So for the sake of society, I have to actually support them because I am dependent upon them. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the scriptures of Yavanas, they cannot satisfy an inquisitive person. If a person is actually intelligent, he will be able to understand the mistakes and illusion in the scriptures. So then he says, what I want to highlight is that Chand Ghazi ultimately tells, he actually accepts that these scriptures are imperfect, they are filled with illusions, but because I am dependent on this, because I am dependent on this community, I am actually supporting them, but actually I know that they are imperfect. So that means, you see, he is actually externally connected with a particular source or particular group of people or a so-called religion which has imperfect scriptures. But as a person, he does not actually, he understands that those scriptures are imperfect. On the other hand, there can be a person, one may be connected even to a Vaishnava Sampradaya, but his heart may not be connected to. Like some of our devotees, they went for book distribution marathon. So they were just sharing their experiences. So once they went to actually take permission from one particular corporate CEO. So that particular person, he was actually from a Vaishnava Sampradaya. So they were actually having great hope that, because he's in charge of so many industries, that somehow if he agrees, then we will actually get permission in so many companies and that will take care of our whole marathon. But then when they went, so that person said, you just have only 1 minute, within 1 minute you tell me whatever you want to tell. And he said something like, actually, I don't have interest in this Gita or Bhagavatam, I'm not interested in these books. The devotees were completely surprised. Because they knew that this person gives a lot of donations to many Vaishnava temples to maintain them. And they asked like, what then, you maintain so many Vaishnava temples, you give donation to so many temples. What about that? So that is because, I am born in this family because I have certain family obligation. But I don't believe in these things. I follow this particular thing. He told some other, some philosophy this thing. I don't believe in this thing. I am not interested in this distribution of Gita or something. So, I don't give any permission so you can actually take leave, something like that is said. So, the point I am trying to say is that sometimes a person may be externally connected to Vaishnava Sampradaya, but his heart may not be connected. But sometimes a person may be externally connected to a source which is imperfect, which is as clearly mentioned by Lord Chaitanya, but the person, he may be actually a genuine person. It's likely that when a person is connected to wrong, so the person may also be a wrong source. May be also being wrong practices, if he's actually following that. But there is also possibility that person can be good, although he's externally is connected to a wrong source. So we must learn to judge the person differently from what he is connected to. So we have to actually introspect in our own heart that we may be connected to a great sampradaya, but are we actually connected in our heart to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada? Or is our heart connected to, are we deriving inspiration from the teachings of Srila Prabhupada? Or are we deriving inspiration from some other source? Is our heart connected to this or is our heart connected to something else? So that is something we have to introspect. And if you see in the case of Akrura, when Akrura, the previous chapter, he was actually bringing Krishna, when Akrura just before when he went to take bath in Yamuna, so he told Krishna and Balram to stay in the chariot. And he went to take bath in Yamuna. So that time, so Akrura told Krishna and Balram to stay in the chariot because out of fear of the enemies, that maybe enemies might harm Krishna and Balram. So he just told, you just be situated in the chariot only, don't come down. But you may see, Akrura is telling them out of fear of the enemies to protect Krishna and Balram. But Akrura is taking Krishna and Balram to Kamsa, who is actually greatest of the demon. So at that time, Akrura is having vatsalya mood. But when Akrura is offering these prayers, Akrura is offering the prayers in the mood of reverence, considering Krishna and Balram to be the Supreme Personality of God. So this is the combination of the mood of vatsalya and dasya, or the reverence towards the Supreme Lord. So this is like Radha Govind Maharaj was explaining in the class, that when Akrura was driving the chariot, sometimes Akrura was driving fast and sometimes Akrura was driving slowly. Is it because was it some speed breaker because he was driving slowly? Or was it some traffic jam or something? Reduce the speed? No, not because of some external this thing. Because at some certain point, Akrura was having a mood that I am taking Krishna and Balram to Kamsa, who is planning to kill Krishna and Balram. So he was in the vatsalya mood. So in the vatsalya mood, his speed got reduced. So there was an internal speed breaker. The vatsalya mood acted as an internal speed breaker, so the speed reduced. At certain point, he was in the mood, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What can this Kamsa do? So he was so confident, so he was going fast. Just like Gaur Gopal was mentioning a few weeks back, that when Lakshman and Sita, there was a conflict between Lakshman and Sita. So Lakshman had a mood of confidence in Lord Ram. Who can harm Lord Ram? And Sita had a mood of concern. Oh, please go and see Lord Ram. What happened to Lord Ram? So there was a conflict between the mood of confidence and mood of concern. So there the conflict was between two different personalities. But in the case of Akrura, the conflict was between the same personality. Sometimes he had a mood of confidence. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Sometimes he had a mood of concern. So similarly, even Vasudev also had a similar mood. When Krishna took birth in the prison house of Kamsa, it is described, sa vismayodfulla vilochano harim sitam vilokyanaka dundubhattada krishna avatarot savasambramo sprishan muda dvijebhyo yutamapluto gavam. So when Vasudev saw Lord Krishna appeared with his four hands and with his with beautiful hair and different ornaments, and Vasudev was struck with wonder. So Vasudev was struck with wonder because he thought, how can, the first reason was that how is it that the Lord was not afraid to appear in the prison house of Kamsa? How is it that he is not afraid to appear in the prison house of Kamsa? And he was thinking, how is it that I am such an insignificant person, how is it that I am able to see the Supreme Lord? I am a person externally in the prison house of Kamsa, I am a person internally covered with ignorance. How is it that I am able to see Krishna? And then second reason why he was struck with wonder was that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, but how is it that he has taken birth from the womb of Devaki? So because of it, he was struck with wonder. And then the third reason was that he we are struck with wonder because Krishna was born with all the ornaments. And then you are struck with wonder that Krishna, who is actually feared by fear personified, he has actually accepted me as the father out of fear. So he was, because of it, he was struck with wonder. So in that verse is described, two words come in this verse, Harim and Sutam. So Vasudeva simultaneously was aware of the position of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and simultaneously considered Krishna as the son. So when he was in the Vatsalya mood, he was actually concerned, oh, will Kamsa might harm Krishna. But simultaneously he was aware, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So he felt, oh, when you thought that, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then he became fearless. So this, so similarly, Akrura and Vasudeva, they simultaneously, sometimes in the mood of Vatsalya, sometimes in the mood of reverence. So how do we relate to it in the mood as a sadhaka? So as a sadhaka, so sometimes we have to be in the Vatsalya mood. Vatsalya mood in the case of sadhaka means, so I need to be present in order to do this service. If I am not, maybe the service may not happen properly. That means when we are in the mood of Vatsalya, that actually makes us responsible to do the service. So I need to be present to the service. And sometimes we also have to be know that ultimately it is not that the service is dependent on me. So sometimes we have to know, oh, Krishna will take care of it. So we should not think that that this service can be performed only by me. So sometimes we have to think, because otherwise if you think, oh, this service can be performed only by me, that can also lead to pride. So sometimes we have to think, oh, I need to be present for this service. That means like Vatsalya mood. So sometimes we also have to adopt the mood, it's not that this service can be performed only by me, others can also perform this service. So that will actually lead to, by that we can actually overcome pride. So when to actually adopt the Vatsalya mood, when to adopt the mood of detachment, so that actually, that depends on maturity. So this is how it relates to us. And so coming, because Gaur Purnima is approaching, I want to speak something about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That, so if we see, so just to lay that point, when we compare Vyasadeva versus Dhruva Maharaj, so in the case of, if you see the character of Vyasadeva, he divided the Vedas just so that for the welfare of the people of Kali Yuga. He understood that people of Kali Yuga will not be able to read the Vedas. Vedas have to be written down, and then Vyasadeva also felt Vedas have to be divided into different chapters, different sections. Just like a mother knows that, oh, this child cannot take the whole chapati. The child, mother actually like breaks the chapati into different pieces so that the child can take one piece at a time. So similarly, Vyasadeva, for the sake of the people of Kali Yuga, we are like children compared to the people of the previous ages. Vyasadeva divided the Vedas. So Vyasadeva, he did not have even a single bit of selfish interest. He only had a mood of selflessness for the sake of benefiting the people of Kali Yuga. He divided the Vedas, and then he wrote Upanishads, the conclusion of the Vedas, and then he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, and then he wrote the Puranas, and then he wrote Mahabharata. So he wrote all these things only in the mood of selflessness with no selfish interest. On the other hand, Dhruva Maharaj, he approached Krishna with only selfish interest. When Dhruva Maharaj performed austerities, he had only two things in mind. How can I get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma? And how can I take revenge against Suruchi. So there was only selfish interest. But at the end, Dromara's conclusion after Lord appeared was that, Swamin Kritartosmi Varamna Yache. I am completely satisfied. I do not want this kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. I am completely satisfied. I was looking for some broken pieces of glass. So Vyasdev, Dhruva Maharaj had utter selfishness, but at the end he was completely satisfied. But Vyasdev had utter selflessness, but at the end he was dissatisfied. So what went wrong between Dhruva Maharaj and Vyasdev? Because in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he was connected to Krishna. Although he was selfish, he performed intense devotional service, intense connection to Krishna was there. So ultimately he was satisfied. But in the case of Vyasdev, although he was selfless, in trying to do selfless welfare activity for the people, he was not strongly connected to Krishna. Means like, he did not completely glorify Krishna in his writings. So because of that not connection to Krishna, he became dissatisfied. So what matters is the connection to Krishna. So one devotee said a beautiful point. He said like if a person may have a latest iPhone, but if there is no network, what is the use of it? If somebody has a Nokia, some old model, some Chinese mobile phone, something. But if there is network, you can actually speak to a person. So what matters is the connection to Krishna. So we see Vyasdev. So this is what actually even in the Bhagavad Gita when Duryodhan says, Anyeche Bhagava Shura Madarte Tyakta Jivita. All these soldiers are fighting for my sake. So there he actually exhibits his selfishness. And Arjuna is saying, Yesham Arte Kankshitam No. So if I actually fight, if I get the kingdom, but I want this kingdom for others' sake, then I will be dissatisfied. He was actually talking about selflessness. I want this kingdom for others. If all these relatives are killed, then what is the use? So he was talking about selflessness. But when Krishna said, Madartam api karmani matkarma paramo bhava. Work for me. Work for my sake. So that is what Gita and Bhagavatam is about. So then Vyasdev, when he was dissatisfied, he approached Krishna. We approached Narada Muni, and Narada Muni told him to write one scripture in which we can directly glorify the Supreme Lord. So when we compare Srimad Bhagavatam versus the other works of Vyasdev, so in the other works of Vyasdev, Vyasdev has given, talked about glories of Krishna to some extent. He has talked about the glories of pure devotional service to some extent. But he has also talked about dharma, artha, kama, moksha and other things. So other scriptures are like a box of son papadi. So son papadi is there, but it is covered by a box. So in the other scriptures, the ratio of the amount of son papadi with the size of the box, that differs in the other scriptures. In certain scriptures, maybe two son papadi and a big box. And certain other scriptures may be, say, 25 son papadi and the covering of the box is small. So that is what the other scriptures of Vyasdev is about. Son papadi is there to some extent, but the covering, the size of the covering is actually different. But in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, the covering is also made of son papadi. So that is the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually, the greatest contribution of Vyasdev, out of all the literatures of Vyasdev, the greatest contribution of Vyasdev is actually Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, although the other Vaishnava Sampradayas have written commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, even Madhva Sampradaya, Vijayadvaja Tirtha has written commentaries, and the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Veera Raghavacharya has written commentaries. But the emphasis on Srimad Bhagavatam arose only after the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopi Parandantru writes in his Tattva Sandarbha that the other sampradayas, before the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, other sampradaya emphasis was on other works of Vyasadeva, on Vedanta Sutra, or maybe some other books, maybe Ramayana, or different this thing. But the emphasis on Srimad Bhagavatam arose to a great extent only after the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually told his followers to especially study Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his favorite source of inspiration was Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore he told his followers to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the greatest contribution of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I just want to mention one more thing. It's a very beautiful point. That so Srila Jiva Goswami, in his one of his greatest contribution is Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha, which is also known as Shad Sandarbha. So in the Shad Sandarbha, in the Mangalacharan, he writes this, he actually chooses this verse. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangasra Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer Ejantihi Sumedasaha. He has chosen this verse in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified. So actually, so Gopi Parandana Prabhu is writing, why is Jiva Goswami, he has chosen this particular verse as a Mangalacharan? The first reason he mentions is that usually great scholars, when they write Mangalacharan, they compose their own verse actually as a Mangalacharan. But in the case of Jiva Goswami, instead of composing his own verse, although he is such a great scholar, he has chosen a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam because he wants to divert the attention of the readers right from the beginning to Srimad Bhagavatam. So the purpose of preaching is not simply to establish our scholarship, is ultimately to divert the attention of the hearers or the readers to Krishna. So the purpose of Jiva Goswami is Shad Sandarbha is establish the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right in the beginning, he wants to divert the attention of the readers to Srimad Bhagavatam, so therefore he chose this verse. And the second reason why he chose this particular verse as a Mangalacharan is that Gopi Parandantra writes that any amount of spiritual advancement, says that any amount of spiritual advancement can succeed, no attempts at spiritual advancement can succeed unless one follows the present Yugavatara of the current age. So Jiva Goswami understanding that because the present Yugavatara of the current age is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he particularly offers obeisance to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the very beginning of Shad Sandarbha. Because how much ever effort you may make for spiritual advancement, you cannot succeed unless you worship the present Yugavatara, which is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a conversation between Nimi Maharaja and Karbhajana, the Navayogendras. So one of the Navayogendras, Karbhajana Rishi, he describes the different incarnations of the Lord to Nimi Maharaj. So he describes different incarnations, but in one particular verse he describes about Parashuram and Lord Ram. So there he says that he tells about the activities of Parashuram, how Parashuram annihilated the Kshatriya so many times. And then he says Lord Ram, he actually killed the 10-headed Ravana along with all the soldiers of Lanka. And then he mentions, may that Sri Ram, whose glories destroy the contamination of the world, be always victorious. So there, Sridhar Swami points in the purport. He says that, especially Karbhajana Rishi is saying, he is pointing out the word Jayati in the particular verse. He says, like, may that Lord Ram be victorious. So why is he, when Karbhajana Rishi is describing the other incarnations, he is not especially mentioning that may the Lord Vamanadev be victorious, may Lord Parashuram be victorious. But only when he mentions about Lord Ram, he says, may that Lord Ram be victorious. Why is he mentioning especially in regard to Lord Ram? Because Lord Ram is a contemporary incarnation. the conversation was taking place in the Treta Yuga. So therefore he is giving particular emphasis to Lord Ram. So on the other, similarly here, we in Kali Yuga, the recent incarnation is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore Jiva Goswami is giving emphasis to the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the contemporary incarnation. So we see that we can talk about all the other incarnations of the Lord, but the emphasis should be greater always on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as exemplified by the Karbhajan Rishi and Jiva Goswami. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution, both from the tattva point of view and rasa point of view, he gave the highest. So from tattva point of view, he gave the Achintya Bheda Bheda philosophy, which is the highest, best possible explanation of the relationship between Jiva, Prakriti and the Supreme Lord. And from the rasa point of view also, his contribution was the highest. And he gave both these things to the people who are the lowest. And so therefore, with this meditation on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can prepare for the Gaur Purnima. So I will conclude with this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrit. Agatyeka gatim natva hinartadika sadakam Shri Chaitanyam likyatesya. So Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the only goal of a person who is advancing in spiritual life. And he is the shelter of a person who does not have any material possessions. So let me describe about the magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by taking shelter of his lotus feet. So in this way, we'll prepare our consciousness for Gaur Purnima. So I'll end your class here. Thank you for your patient attention. Rantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jaya. Shila Prabhupada ki jaya. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya.